He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I am Anthony Irwin, Senior Lakers Insider for Offside, joined on this fine Sunday evening after one of the better weekends in LA sports recent history that I can frankly remember. The Lakers won 2-0. Dodgers won a World Series. I think USC even won, which I don't really care about because I'm a UCLA fan. UCLA didn't lose because they were on a bye. I don't know what the Clippers did. They don't really count. But hell of a weekend here for the home teams. So today on the show, we're going to be talking about today's win over the Miami Heat. The Lakers beat them 130 to 120 in a really kind of interesting game for a variety of reasons. We'll talk about Luka's performance. We'll talk about Austin's performance. Got to start talking about Jake LaRavia and ways to get him more involved in the rotation. Bronny, I thought, played good minutes. Maybe he'll come up over the course of the show. Overall, though, my biggest takeaway from the get is that the Lakers were able to win a game comfortably where Luka Doncic and Austin Reeves, frankly, shot really poorly. You know, that. They went 5 of 25 from three-point range tonight and were able to still beat, albeit a hobbled Miami Heat team, but still a Miami Heat team that had been playing good basketball coming into this one. So let's talk about it. I thought LeBron looked to have a different pep in his step tonight as well. So much to talk about here tonight. As we head into a Lakers team that is now 5-2 to open up their season. All right, so the final again, 130 to 120. The Lakers covered the line. Last I saw it when I recorded my preview for Offside was 4.5. The Lakers covered. Remember, good teams win, great teams cover. If you just want to look from a, 30,000 foot, type of height, you had really balanced scoring. You had, Luka led the way. He had 29 points. Then you had Austin at 26. Then you had LaRavia at 25. Then you had Rui and Jackson both score 15 and Marcus Smart scored 11. So overall the Lakers spread the ball around. One thing that really blew me away in this one was how well the Lakers were moving without the basketball. Pete and I just on Friday talked about how, if you're not very athletic, one way to make up for that lack of athleticism is to move the ball because the ball can always move faster than the man. And I thought tonight was a good example of that. You had Luka rack up 10 assists. You had Austin finish with 11 assists. And then outside of that, you had Smart with 4. Even Rui had a couple. Jackson had one. LaRavia had a few. Bronny had a couple. Like the ball was just, kind of moving around. They had a total of 33 assists on 48 of their field goal attempts that they made came with 33 assists attached to them. So ball was moving. And, again, this is not the most athletic team. This is one of the least athletic teams, I would venture to say, compared to the rest of the competitor. They're kind of the teams that are contending for a championship. The Lakers are going to be one of the lesser athletic teams out there. And if they're going to make that work, it's going to require some ball movement, some player movement. And I thought tonight was a good example of this, especially against a Heat team that goes zone for as much as they did. So that was good to see. I thought that for stretches of the game, the Lakers allowed themselves to kind of get sucked into the Heat's like run and gun style Miami is playing at a crazy pace to open up the season. They run on makes, they run on misses, they run on turnovers, they run on everything. They just run. And it makes sense, right? Like Pete and I talked about this again on Friday about how Miami, they don't have Norm Powell right now. They don't have Tyler Hero. Those are their two kind of offensive engines. And so it's like, all right, we just got to get out and go. Good to see Jaime Jaquez play the way that he did. He looked really, really good in this one. Kind of weird that he comes off of the bench, to be completely honest, especially when you have somebody like Pelle Larsson starting. I don't know. It was weird. But, yeah, I you know, against this kind of Miami Heat team, and Miami, it's funny. I don't think this approach is going to win very much in the postseason. You know, the talent isn't there either. But, you know, running and gunning and just kind of trying to play harder than the team that you're facing, that works fine in an 82-game format where some teams are just kind of trying to survive 82 games. When you get into the postseason and everybody kind of ratchets up the intensity and the discipline, this style tends to kind of dissipate. And but this isn't one of those playoff settings. This is a 1-of-82 type setting. And I thought the Lakers at times kind of sunk into running and gunning with Miami. And then I thought they kind of realized, oh, wait, that's right. We don't have to do that. We have Austin. We have Luka. We have these offensive engines and a system that I think they're kind of rounding into shape with. So it's like, let's just execute and make Miami less comfortable. Whereas if you try to run with Miami, you are inherently making them more comfortable and yourself less comfortable. So, yeah, just from a kind of macro level, my biggest takeaways here was I love the ball and player movement from this one. And I love that the Lakers were able to win a game comfortably. Again, there are disclaimers here. No Norm Powell, no Tyler Hero still early for the Miami Heat. But the Lakers won pretty comfortably and did so while their two best players who were active, by the way, they didn't even have LeBron in this one, obviously, but the two players who were active in this one really didn't shoot very well at all. And so if you're able to withstand that and some turnover issues and a funky approach from the other from the opposing team, if you're able to overcome all of that and still win fairly comfortably to, you know, to the tune of a double-digit win, you kind of got to take it. You know, there are you know, nits to pick, but overall, this is one of those wins that you just enjoy, accept for what it is, and move on and get ready for the next one. Let's talk about Luka. So he finishes tonight. 29 points for Luka. It's his first time scoring less than 40, and obviously the first time scoring less than 30. He did grab 11 rebounds. He did dish out 10 assists. He had 3 steals in this one. I was actually kind of impressed with how active he was defensively, honestly, in this game. He had 5 turnovers, so it wasn't the most efficient game for him, right? 9 of 22 from the field, 1 of 11 from the three-point line. Did shoot 10 of 12 from the free throw line. One of the other things that really stuck out to me in watching Luka tonight was how easily he was going by guys. And this is a good defensive Miami squad, at least in terms of personnel. He's going by Wiggins. He had one play where he had Bam Adebayo stuck in quicksand. Like it was. He's going by guys, and the night, like when you're as big and strong as Luka is, and LeBron's like this too, all you need is a fraction of an inch. Your shoulder just needs to barely get by your defender's shoulder because those guys are so strong that the defender isn't going to be able to knock their shoulder back and get back into the play. Once a guy like Luka or LeBron is by their guy even a little bit, that guy no longer factors into that play. Also because they're so tall, LeBron and Luka are, that it's hard to apply back pressure on those guys' shots because those guys aren't going to feel, you know, LeBron's like 6'8", 6'9". Luka's in that same kind of realm as well. Again, big broad shoulders on both of those guys. So for LeBron, like, it's always been get one shoulder by, put that guy in jail if you want to put him in a jail, or just hit the boosters and get to that left leg and elevate off of the left leg. In Luka's case, it was turn the corner. And then even more impressively, he was turning the corner to an extent where he was fully sealing guys, after going by them. So that was really good to see. The defense, again, I thought he was really active. There were a few good closeouts from Luka, really getting out to shooters in this one. That was good to see. And the thing that makes guys like Luka so special is it doesn't matter whether he has his shot going or not. He can be really effective and really impact winning in a multitude of ways. And one of the ways, actually, that I really love that the Lakers are starting to do more and more and more of is they're moving him all over the court. First play of the game, Marcus Smart brings the ball up the court and runs a pick and roll that eventually leads to Luka getting the ball against the defense in motion. The another thing that the Lakers were doing against Miami zone was putting Luka into the middle of it, and good luck. I think that pretty much ended Miami zone when the Lakers started going to that. Another thing that they're doing is having Luka set off ball screens and get off ball screens set for him, which allow him to catch the ball in more advantageous spots on the court with his dribble still live. And again, if he sets a screen, they can't, like, they have to navigate that screen and do so with real precision and real attention to detail, which if you're focused on that screen, if you have two defenders, maybe even two and a half defenders who are focused on that off-ball screen that Luka is setting and making sure that he isn't, you know, benefiting from setting that screen, well, that's four, maybe five eyes that are focused on whatever Luka's doing over there and are not focused on what's going on the people who have the ball in their hands or the people who are active in that play or in that set. So the Lakers and Luka specifically, and I think Luka deserves some credit here because this is the kind of thing that it took James Harden, frankly, too long to learn, if he ever honestly did. But Luka being able to impact plays when he doesn't have the basketball makes him so much more dynamic. It makes the Lakers so much more difficult to guard. And the Lakers kind of slowly but surely adding that into their offensive culture. If they're able to do that with Luka, and if they're able to do that with LeBron, and if they're able to do that with Austin, I legitimately have no idea how teams will consistently get stops against them. So Austin, obviously, as soon as Luka got back, we all kind of knew that Austin's production was going to dip, right? And that's just in terms of statistical production, but you still would take it, right? Like, you had, Austin plays in this one 38 minutes, scores 26 points, dishes out 11 assists, had 4 rebounds, and only 3 turnovers. He also, like Luka, went 9 of 22 from the field. He made a few more threes, but shot a few more of them. He went 4 of 14 from 3-point range. Did get to the free throw line 5 times and made 4 of those. And Austin is a really interesting dude because the ability to like scale up and also scale down, and not just in terms of like game by game based on who's available, but I'm talking possession by possession or shift by shift, where some shifts he's out there with Luka, some shifts he's out there by himself, some shifts he's going to be out there with LeBron and not Luka, and there are also going to be shifts where he's out there with both of those guys eventually. And his ability to just kind of, you know, be this basketball amoeba and figure out ways to help there. Now, the catching and shooting is a little concerning. I would like to see him be more effective as a catch and shoot threat. But I will say this, though, because of how good of a shooter he is, the teams that the Lakers are playing against, he's a fire alarm shooter to those teams. And what, you know, obviously you would prefer he starts knocking a few more or a higher percentage of those shots down, but him just being that kind of alert shooter, you know, the kind of guy who, if the other team sees he's open, they have to get on their horse to go out and try to close out. If he can just be that and create space for Luka or for LeBron or for whomever, just by being out there, that in and of itself is winning a bit of the war. But so basically, Luka comes back. Let's see. So Austin scored. Let's see. So he, yeah. So Minnesota was the last game that he played without Luka. Memphis, Luka comes back, and Austin then shoots 2 of 8 from 3-point range. And then tonight he shoots 4 of 14 from 3-point range. So that would make him 6 of 22 from 3-point range in the last couple of games with Luka. And at the beginning of the season, right, he went 1 of 5 from 3-point range with Luka on opening night. And then he went, 2 of 5 against Minnesota. So, like, he's kind of hovering in that 35-ish percentage point. I'm just doing all of that math off the top of the head. You might be shooting a little bit better, a little bit worse. But like, if the Lakers are going to operate at the level that they kind of sort of need to offensively, Austin needs to be absolutely knocked down. And to the point where, like, right now, guys are closing out crazy hard to him. Just because he, you know, it's a rep thing. But when you get into a playoff series, eventually teams make tough decisions and they basically say, like, you know what? We have to live with certain things. And if one of the things that teams eventually start to live with is Austin being even somewhat open, that really lowers the Lakers' ceiling offensively. So he's going to have to figure out a way to you know, get into a better rhythm as a shooter. But I still thought, though, that, you know, he handled the ball well in this one. I thought his defense was fine. You know, he's not exactly guarding. He spent some time on, like, Davion Mitchell and stuff like that. So, like, he wasn't taking the toughest task out there. But overall, though, I thought Austin was good. I thought Luka was good. And both of those guys, outside of the 3-point shooting, were pretty damn good. And the fact, again, that the Lakers were able to win fairly comfortably, they won by double digits in a game where their two best players go, what was it, five of 25, shooting 25% from 3-point range. If you can win that game and not have LeBron available, even against a fairly shorthanded Miami Heat team, that's pretty damn good. That's, you know, again, We can gripe and moan and all that stuff, but the Lakers, I thought, were clearly the better team out there by quite a bit. And if Luka and Austin shoot even decently in that game, this is probably a good 15 to 20 point win. Let's talk about Jake, man. Jake LaRavia, really impressed by him. I told the story. Oh, by the way, I'll remind me in the chat. Somebody, you know, hit me with the chat and remind me to tell my Vin Scully, Kike Hernandez story, because the Dodgers won the World Series last night. But the thing with Jake, and I told the story before about how, like, sometimes guys just need to be told, you know, sometimes forcefully, hey, man, you got to be a scorer. You got to be a hooper. You got to, you know, shoot the basketball willingly, because we know you can shoot. And in that game that I think it was a couple games ago, where LaRavia just exploded, he had you know, a really green light. And I guess he had spoken to Mike Trudell about conversations that he had with JJ Redick and also apparently with Rob Pelinka, you know, and hearing from those guys, hey man, go be you, go out there and don't hesitate, go out there and fire away, because like any possession where he is open and he doesn't take that shot, there's a good chance that the Lakers aren't going to get a better opportunity to score than they did when they got Jake LaRavia open. I've thought that the last couple of games, basically since LaRavia had that really green light a few games ago, those last couple of games, that hesitation is way down and he is just firing away or he's attacking right off of the top. And so like making that quick decision, making that offense more dynamic, that in and of itself makes him a far more useful player than he was at the start of the season. On top of that, LaRavia does this really cool thing that I wish more NBA players were better at. He never stops moving. In football, there's this thing that they'll say with like tight ends, right? Jason or whichever Kelsey it is, Travis Kelsey, I think it's Travis. But you know, Taylor Swift's fiance. So like he is really, really good at finding little pockets in opposing zone defenses and just sitting down and presenting himself for his quarterback as that like last second safety blanket if need be. And he is really, really good as he's running his routes at identifying that pocket in the zone, whether it be underneath, whether it be over the top, whether it be on the sideline or up the middle or whatever. He is just excellent at finding those pockets in the zone. And LaRavia is very much like this too, where he is really good at you know, just kind of identifying, all right, this is where the help is coming from, this is where the help is currently situated. If I go here, it's going to take them this long to get to me. Or if so-and-so has the ball on this spot on the court, then we know how much help has to be shaded towards an Austin or a Luka. And if I just float over here, or if I quickly cut over here, or if I, you know, just quickly show myself over the top, like he is just so good when he doesn't have the basketball at making himself available and maintaining himself as a threat. Then on top of that, he actually extends that also to rebounding, where he has very good instincts on the way that the basketball bounces off of the rim. And, you know, whether he shoots it or somebody else shoots it, he's very good at putting himself in pockets on the court that the ball usually goes and finds, right? The cliche is so-and-so has a nose for the basketball. There's so-and-so is a magnet for the basketball. And, you know, the other end of the spectrum there is like, you know, if there's a weak spot in a lineup, the ball tends to find that weak spot. Well, in this case, LaRavia, is clearly not a weak spot, but he also like has this nose for the basketball and is very good at getting to the basketball at advantageous spots on the court.